the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning podcast. Nick Wright in about 7-8 minutes. Three things to touch on. Number one, kind of a shocking firing in the NBA. The general manager, after 1 year, Gersan Rosas, was fired after 1 year on the job. Karl Anthony Towns went to social media with a WTF. Here's what I will tell you from a very, very well-placed source. If a high-ranking sports official is fired 2 weeks before camp, it's probably not a basketball issue. I'll let you figure it out from there. Second story, if you've never been married, this won't make any sense. And if you've never lived in Los Angeles, this won't make any sense. But I've been told of the 6 to 7 candidates for the USC football job, two of the wives have given their husbands a huge thumbs up, moving from a small rural town to Los Angeles. If you've never been married, you're not going to get this. But when it comes to moving the family and the kids, wives are going to have a huge say in this. I know you're probably a 25-year-old, 30-year-old guy, never been married. I make the moves. No, you don't. Not when you're married with kids. The wife makes the call. And overwhelmingly, college football powers are in the middle of nowhere. A small college towns, rural, 3 restaurants. I'll be honest with you. A year before I left ESPN to Los Angeles, you know, my wife had said, I'm not living near Bristol, Connecticut for the rest of my life. And, you know, just telling you a personal story, she wanted to bigger and better things in life than rural Connecticut. And that is what happens if a man or a woman is got a good job and considering another good job, the wife overwhelmingly will have final say. And I've been told that two of the candidates for the USC job, there's 7 candidates right now on a list, an NFL candidate and a college candidate, both with good jobs. The wives have given them a thumbs up. Lots to do here. Mediterranean weather. Just don't kid yourself. I mean, most people do not want to live in you know, these small college towns. It's especially if the wife is reasonably young, late 30s, 40s, you know, she wants to do things. Third story, Aaron Rodgers has gotten progressively needier. Now he's lashing out at Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, Jermichael Finley, trying to control all the reporting on him, which is ludicrous because those are certainly highly qualified people. I always had a theory, and I've talked about this for years on Aaron Rodgers. He's a weird fit. He's a SoCal guy and a weird fit in, you know, small town Wisconsin. Brett Favre wasn't a weird fit in Wisconsin because he was a southern small town guy. And middle of nowhere, that's where he was born, and that's where the Packers are. It's different for Aaron Rodgers. And if he was the quarterback of the LA Rams and he had a day off, because remember, if a team plays Sunday, they get Monday off and Tuesday is a film day. A lot of time off early in the week. Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of the LA Rams. We have 37 music venues. He loves music in Southern California, 8 pro teams, 2 major colleges, the beach. You can go out in public in Los Angeles. Nobody cares. My wife ran into Don Cheadle at a restaurant 2 days ago. Nobody was bothering him. I've run into Harrison Ford, Mark Harmon, Bob Saget, Matt Damon. Nobody cares in Southern California. Literally nobody cares. And that matters. Aaron Rodgers, though, in Green Bay, can't leave the house. By October, the weather's lousy. There's no beach. Most of his friends live in Southern California. He's not married. He has no kids. And he doesn't have a tight relationship with his family. That's well documented. So what does Aaron Rodgers do on his days off? Consumes lots of media, especially media talking about Aaron Rodgers. This is something I've talked about all the time. In my family, we have what I call phone down Friday. We all put our phones down on Friday and I get away from sports. It's very easy. There's always something to do here. I'll get in the car with my wife and we'll just go for a 2.5 hour drive through Malibu and up in the canyons. There's a resort within 45 minutes in every direction from where we live. There's the beach. There's great restaurants. Where does Aaron Rodgers go? He's not married, no kids. Friends are in LA, not close to his family, can't go out in public, weather's crappy, indoors. He's trapped. And I think when I watch Aaron Rodgers react the way he is to criticism, Russell Wilson, married, kids, close with his family, lots of business relationships, he's too busy to worry about what I'm saying about him. Tom Brady, married, bunch of kids, multiple business partners, he's too busy. You know, in Seattle, in Florida, you know, you can go out. Although Brady probably gets mobbed in Tampa too. But I've said this about Aaron Rodgers. He's got rabbit ears. And the worst thing you can ever try to do as an athlete is to control the media. Bill Cowher, Nate Burleson, Jermichael Finley are going to say whatever they want to say. Stop being so insecure and sensitive and needy. This weekly grievance session is embarrassing. I mean, it's so below a Tom Brady. Can you imagine Tom Brady spending 30 seconds ripping the coverage of Tom Brady? I mean, it's so below his standard. And this is something I've talked about all the time with young broadcasters. Have a life beyond sports. Get off your phone. If you're spending 5.5 hours on your phone, it's going to lead to some soul searching and insecurity. And I feel with Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay is a very, very odd, difficult fit for him. He's by himself a lot. You know, Aaron's the kind of guy that he's pretty global. He's pretty worldly. I mean, he wants to do other things. Los Angeles should have 37, 38 music venues. You could go walk outside your door. You would literally not be bothered. I feel he's kind of trapped. It gets in his head and he's consuming too much media, mostly about himself. All right, my buddy Nick Wright, host First Things First, just got inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame at WAER Radio in Syracuse. That's known as the best college radio station in the country. I've known about it since I was, I think, 20 years old or 15 years old, because that was where there was an article in Sports Illustrated years ago about the radio station in Sports Illustrated. And it was always my dream to be a sportscaster, but I didn't have good enough grades probably to get into Syracuse or Duke or Northwestern or Missouri, all the great broadcasting schools. So I had to forge ahead and overcome all my limitations. And
yeah, that's right.
Nick, meanwhile, was a great student, got into Syracuse, and is the youngest Hall of Famer in the history of WAER Sports Radio in Syracuse.
Thank you, Colin. That is correct.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
As a parent.
As a parent.
Since we're talking about me, and obviously what else should we lead the show with? And by the way, at some point during today's show, I'm going to hijack it and I'm going to take over the steering wheel, because there's some things I want to ask you about in the sports world.
All right.
I'm just letting you know. I'm letting you preemptive alert. So my mom got a master's from Harvard.
Yeah.
My dad, kind of odd story, you and I have talked about this once before, didn't go to undergrad, but somehow it doesn't have a four-year college degree, but does have a master's from Harvard. So both my parents have degrees from Harvard. You mentioned it, I was a decent student, did pretty well in the SATs. I would have assuredly, because of the legacy component, gotten into Harvard.
Yeah.
Didn't even apply.
Right.
Only applied to Syracuse. As a parent, because my parents, I think, grit their teeth and bared it, but I think deep down they were furious. Now, for me as a parent, I would be furious. My kid didn't even apply. How would you react if you had very good intel that one of your kids could get into elite school A, and instead they're like, well, I'm going to this other school that is really only elite at this very niche field that I say I'm going to be in? How would you react?
It's your life, not mine. My dad was a doctor. My dad's brother was a doctor. My dad's dad was an engineer. And I told him I wanted to be a sportscaster. And he said, go get him, Tiger.
He supported you.
Oh, yeah. Go get him, Tiger. That was what he said to
me. That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I tell my son all the time, the minute you get your driver's license, I lose influence over you to your peers. And so my job is to keep you alive until 15 and a half years old and hopefully offer values and some wisdom along the way. So at that point, you make good decisions going 65 miles an hour on a freeway. And it's your life. It is not mine. I will support you in your goal, but grab onto something and head in a specific direction. Whatever that direction is, I'll support you, but do not waffle and meander. Don't backpack to Europe after college. You got 4 fucking years of college. You get 3 long months off. Go to Amsterdam in the summer. My daughter wanted to travel, so we sent her to Cape Town, South Africa,
yeah,
during the summer for a leadership council, 8 weeks time of her life. You're not doing that after college. I'm not paying for it.
So you're not paying for it. So that's the key. So like, I have a son who's college age, and this is a little departure from your thing, which is because he still, I think, doesn't yet exactly know what he wants to do. But I've always told him, I'm like, listen, as long as you have no kids and no criminality, as long as you're free and clear, I was like, man, you can go be a bartender on the beach in Barbados for 6 months. Like, you can use your 20s to figure it out. Now, some would say you do make the choice, though. Said this, and he's right. Are you going to retire in your 20s and work for the rest of your life, or work in your 20s and then retire when you're 60? Like, that's the choice people make. Like, the I'm going to backpack through Europe, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's an option, but it probably means you're going to really have to grind if you don't want to be working at 65. If you want to be kicking your feet up at 65, you probably need to be grinding at 25.
Yeah, and I don't want my kids to resent me. My daughter got a college scholarship, an academic scholarship, to a private school within a public school. Barrett Honors within Arizona State. I told her, I said, I don't think Arizona State will challenge you. She was like a 4.4 student. She was great. She was like student of the year in 4 classes in high school. I said, I don't think it's going to challenge you. But she got a scholarship. It was a private school within a public school.
Yep.
And she's been a terrific student, and she's graduating. And her takeaway was, had I not gone to the private part of the public school, it would not have challenged me. And so I wanted her to go to the University of Michigan, Washington. I wanted her to look at Ivy League schools because she qualified. She looked at UCLA, but just thought it was boring socially. Didn't want to also go to college right next to where I work.
Right, right. In your backyard.
Right. So
exactly.
Because right. I told her, I said, hey, we could go meet for lunch a couple times a week.
We can meet for lunch. You can stay at the house if you want. Yeah, not interested. You mentioned University of Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from Kansas City. So if Syracuse is the best for what I wanted to do and what I do, but Missouri is second or third, and I easily could have gone to the University of Missouri. I'm like, no, that is 2 hours from my mom's house, my dad's house. Not interested. I'm going, you got to fly to come see me. Like, you got to have the level of separation.
So my parameters have always been, for 4 years, I'm going to pay for your college, your life, your rent. I'm going to make it great. And for a year out of college, I will help you going forward. I'll pay for your car, you know.
Yep.
But then at that point, you know, if you want to backpack around Europe that first year, that's the only year I'm going to pay for your life. The rest is on you.
And we can get to sports, but that's kind of. And my mom, because right when I got out of school, I did immediately have a job in broadcasting, but I was literally making $8 an hour. And my mom helped me out that first year before I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and made some money, where because I was pursuing like a career. And that's the same thing I've told my kids, which is, if you are on a path to something that you think is going to be great, I will help you. If you're just floating, you're welcome to float. Like you said, it's your life, but you got to pay for the float. You know what I mean? You got to figure that out. That's on right. Your own. And then, but go ahead. We can get to more interesting.
Well, speaking of floating, I was floating on cloud 9 when Lamar beat Patrick Mahomes, not because I don't like Patrick Mahomes, but I do think it made for a better story. And I also,
that's true.
And I also am a huge supporter of Lamar Jackson, which is, we never have a problem with Drew Brees' inability for the last 4 years to throw a deep ball. We don't have a problem with the fact that Big Ben literally hasn't mastered a reasonably sophisticated audible system in his entire career. But we just don't like the fact that sometimes Lamar Jackson playing from behind isn't as good as Tom Brady. And so I've always thought, I don't know, every quarterback's got a flaw. Why is Lamar's so punitively judged. So I'm a fan of Lamar. And frankly, I think selfishly, he makes the game more interesting. I don't want everybody to look like Daniel Jones. I like
that's correct.
Crazy guy, runaround guy, small guy, big guy, Mahomes throwing left-handed. I like all that stuff. So do you see the value, even though 100%. The Chiefs lost, the value in Lamar 100%. Winning?
Well, and, you know, we talked in our post-show meeting on Friday.
Yeah.
So before the game, that we said as a group, we're like, we think we have a bit of a problem, which is people expect us to talk a lot of Chiefs because they're the best team and because of me, because I'm so associated with them. But they were a hard team to talk about. Everyone's like, yeah, they're awesome. Like, and so it is them having some adversity is good for the business. It's good for all of us. And that the adversity came against a team that, again, 2 years ago, the year the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, everyone thought Lamar was going to win it. They were 14-2. They were unstoppable. Right. He was the unanimous MVP. And now, when you talk about best quarterbacks in the AFC, it goes Mahomes 1, then almost unanimously Josh Allen. Then people are like, well, what about Justin Herbert? Like, people will go down a list before they mention Lamar. And it is because the hole in his game is obvious and glaring at times. But I don't want to mix metaphors. But if you had a baseball player that simply could not hit to a certain side of the field, but was the best in the world at hitting the other side of the field, he wouldn't be as good as the guy who can hit to all fields, but he wouldn't suck. And the way some people talk about Lamar, like, oh, you can never win with him. Well, they win at a very high rate with him. It's hard. And the other thing in Lamar's defense, when people are like, he's only won one playoff game. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that went longer than Lamar went without winning a playoff game that struggled for a long time in the playoffs. It's hard. It's hard to win playoff games in the NFL. And I do think that the way they did it, not only did they win, but Lamar threw, he got unlucky on the pick six, receiver fell down, but still that could rock your confidence. Then threw a bad pick. They're down 11 in the fourth quarter, all those things, and culminating in him going for it on fourth, which is obviously the right call, but a call most teams wouldn't let their quarterback do. Yeah, it's great for the league, and it makes it more interesting. Now, I still think the Chiefs are the best team, but it makes it more interesting.
Are you ready to amp up the excitement every college football Saturday this year? All right, it's called Colin Cowherd's Saturday Spreads. It's on FanDuel. Free shot at big prices. Really simple. I choose 10 of college football's biggest matchups each week. Make your picks against the spread for each one. And the fans who get the most right win $5,000 in prizes every damn week. Okay, here are my FanDuel picks of the week in college football. I'm going to take Texas A&M -5.5 to cover at Arkansas. The Razorbacks beat Texas. That's their win of the year, feeling good about themselves. But Texas A&M is a far deeper, more talented roster than the Longhorns. The Hogs got their one big upset of the year. I like A&M to win by a touchdown. I'm going to take Texas Tech at home -9.5. Listen, the game means a lot for Steve Sarkisian. He's certainly not going to get fired. But after that humiliating and humbling loss to Arkansas, this game matters a lot. Texas at times has trouble with the Texas Techs of the world when they overlook them. Sark is not overlooking this game. They roll. I'm going to take Notre Dame +5.5 at Wisconsin. The Irish have Jack Cohn, the former Badger quarterback. I don't know if Notre Dame wins, but I see it as a very low-scoring football game. Kind of your 25, 24, 24, 23. 5.5 points is too many points. And I do think the Notre Dame defense will keep a pretty conservative Badger offense in check. Don't know if the Irish win, but I'll take the +5.5. A&M -5.5, Texas -9.5, Notre Dame +5.5. My FanDuel picks of the week. Go to FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads. FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads. Or you can just download the FanDuel app. Check in, $5,000 every week in prizes. No purchase necessary. Age restrictions apply depending on location. Void where prohibited. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. So I'm going to throw something at you because you're a man that from time to time has liked gambling. The best line of the week and perhaps of the year, I'll throw it to you. Now, the line has come down from 3.5 to 3, I believe, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm not a fan of Tua. And in fact, if you gave me the option of starting Jacoby Brissett or Tua, I would start Jacoby Brissett, who has a stronger, better arm and is a bigger athlete. And I do think Miami has really nice weapons. And now Will Fuller is back.
Will Fuller's back.
Okay. Miami is in a desperate situation in that division. The Raiders are off 2 wins. They won the first 2 games last couple of years. So Jacoby Brissett is now starting, and they're going to go to the Raiders, and they are at 1 point getting 3.5, and that is a better football team than the Raiders. They won 10 games last year. Brian Flores, I think, is a better complete coach, better special teams. It's a better roster. And I think there's an opportunity here where when you go to a backup, there is a sense that, oh boy, wheels are off. I'm going to argue Jacoby Brissett is a better quarterback than Tua. And I think deep down, I think Brian Flores knows it, but he can't make that move. So when I saw that line at 3.5, I thought, this is a sharp play.
So I don't think you're far off. So listen, I am a little higher on Tua than you, but that's about what he will be. It's not about today on September 22nd what he is. And Jacoby Brissett, every time I've seen him play, I'm like, oh, that guy's not bad. He's not when he was the Patriots third string and came in after Garoppolo got hurt, when your guy Tom Brady, one of the many times he was dinged for cheating, I thought Jacoby played well. I thought Jacoby has done well in his career. So I don't disagree with that part of it. I also am not buying. I know the Raiders have nice wins. In theory, they have nice wins. The Ravens win's a nice win, but that also they needed a 55-yard field goal to get to overtime. So that easily could have been a loss.
And yeah. Baltimore, a week before, lost all their running backs. They were in utter chaos as the number one running team in the league. If you went to Kansas City and they lost Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill a week before the season, it's not the same football team.
Correct. And people are giving them a lot of credit for beating Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh might end up with one of the worst offenses in football.
Oh, no, they have an excellent coach. It's number two. It's the second worst offense I've seen.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I don't know if number one is the Jets, whatever. Yeah. So Pittsburgh's got an awesome defense and a great coach, but I don't think they're very good. So the Raiders, we've seen the Raiders, you said it, last year 2-0 to 6-3,
right,
then fell apart. The year before, I think 6-4, then fell apart. And I also think Miami is good. Now, I don't think they're great, but I think they're good.
Same.
I like their coach. I think their defense will get better. The Bills game was weird. Because you see the Bills scored 35 points. It's 35-0. It's like, okay, well, that's terrible. But then you look at Josh Allen's numbers. And Allen completed 50% of his passes at 171 yards. You're like, how did the Bills score 35 points? So, yeah, I agree with you on that front. I would like, if I were to play that game, I would like Miami plus the points without question. I would maybe like Miami straight up to win.
I think they will win. So I always had this theory, Nick Wright, that smart guys only get dumb for two reasons: beautiful women and sports. So your wife's stunning. So at some point, she's just going to have you do something. And it, just because she's going to say, do it, and you're going to do it.
Oh, it's happened many a time.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So particularly before we were married with kids, like when I was trying to win her over. Yeah. 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 You don't think there were some 3 a.m. drive? Where are we going? Okay, whatever you say. Yeah,
so absolutely. She's a showstopper. The second thing is sports. So you can be a good businessman like Jerry Jones and make great decisions in every other business and then make terrible decisions with your football team.
Yep.
So Ezekiel Elliott in his last like 12 games has two touchdowns. In his last 17 games, he averages like 70 yards a game.
Yeah.
He is going to be an $18 million cap hit next year and a 16.7 after that. And I think 13 after that.
And by the way, right before the season started, they restructured his deal a bit, which made it slightly harder to move on.
That's right.
Him in the next few years.
I would argue in baseball, there are lots. Every team's got one or two bad contracts because the contracts are now extended to 7, 8, 9, 10 years for good players. No baseball contract, even Mookie Betts, by year seven, it's not a good deal for the Dodgers. In basketball, Otto Porter, because you have this minimum that you have to spend, Otto Porter can get a like high-end contract. Good player, not special, but paid like a special player. In football, you know, almost never get trapped. You almost never get trapped. You could cut Tom Brady today. He's so small of a cap hit. Yep. I mean, you could cut almost every quarterback not named Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers today. So not only is the Zeke contract awful, in a league with few awful contracts, the second worst contract could be Jalen Smith, a wonderful guy who is now a backup.
Who's a backup? He's playing like 20% of the snaps.
They tried to move him. They could not move him.
And they paid these guys early when they didn't have to. The Zeke thing, though, Colin, is interesting because I want to ask you about something. Have you ever – you're not a big car guy, right? Are you?
Not at all.
That's not your thing. But so the car guys would be a better example on this, but I'm sure, so I'll use cars as an example, but I'm sure you can find something in your life. You've got, say, a very serviceable, good car, but you have a lot of money and you're like, you know what? I'm buying the top of the line, fancy car.
Sure.
And you buy it and you drive it. And after a couple weeks, you're like, I actually like everything about my other car more.
Yeah.
I still have it. You feel an obligation internally to drive the more expensive one because you spent the money. It's illogical. It goes against the sunk cost fallacy, but there is something in you, even if you enjoy driving the other car more, that pushes you to drive the more expensive one because you spent the money. Here's why I say that. Zeke contract's obviously a bad contract, but that is a sunk cost at this point. That's done. I think it's going to be hard for the Cowboys to give Tony Pollard running back one carries because they spent all this money on Zeke. Even they're both there. The cap hits the same this year, whether Zeke gets 30 carries or zero carries. In logically, what a robot would do is what gives us the best chance to win. What a human being will do is feel pressure to give the ball to the expensive guy because you spent the money.
Yep.
And I think that's a problem for Dallas. Yep. I think it's a real problem.
Well, and also, it's why I give great credit to Steve Keim, the Arizona general manager. GMs will stick with a quarterback like Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, Ryan Pace did because he drafted him. Steve Keim acknowledged, yeah, I whiffed on that one. And in whiffed 1 year... fire the coach and went and essentially fired the quarterback. That doesn't happen ever in the National
Correct.
Football League. Ever.
Well, and the another team that won a Super Bowl because of it, and they didn't even wait a year, was your Seahawks. I shouldn't say your Seahawks, but the Seahawks, famously. It was very difficult to spend that money on Matt Flynn and then say, you're not playing. But it is logical. The money is spent. That is gone. Now you just got to play who's better. This is what I've never understood. And I'm not breaking psychological ground here, but people, and I'm sure you've known people like this, that buy theater tickets a month in advance.
Yeah.
And the day of, dread going, don't want to go, are miserable about going, and go anyway. And the answer is, well, I paid for it. Well, that's gone. You already paid for him. Now you should do what makes you happy. The money doesn't come back to you. And sports teams have a big problem with this. They have a huge problem with recognizing that money is spent. That is a separate thing. Now we must do what is best for us moving forward. And I think for the Cowboys, it's going to be a problem. I told you I was going to take the car and steer another direction.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
All right.
Because you had a Babe Ruth take that cut through, but I thought should have cut through even more because I thought it was brilliant. It was the Ohtani. It was better that the marketing thing should be better than Babe. And Babe Ruth is known for a number of things, but one of the things he's known for or associated with is the worst transaction in sports history, right? Is the Red Sox, the dude that owned the Red Sox was about to go broke and wanted to put on a Broadway play and sold him to the Yankees. Is it possible, Colin, that a different Boston sports team has finally trumped selling Babe Ruth to the Yankees? And that's what Belichick did. And here's the thing. By the way, I thought Brady was cooked too. So I was as wrong as anybody on this. However, when you go through the timeline of, and now it's not just Brady, it's also Gronk looks amazing. And you're like, okay, in 2014, Belichick drafted his replacement. Brady won the Super Bowl that year, then won it again in 16. In 2016, going into the summer, Brady wanted Garoppolo gone. Belichick wouldn't do it. They go into the 2017 season. Brady kind of forces the hand via the thing with Kraft, gets Garoppolo out of there. In 2018, Belichick tries to trade Gronk. Gronk told us, no, he traded me to Detroit. I had to threaten to retire. That year, they don't win the Super Bowl without Gronk. Against my Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, who makes the biggest plays? Gronk. In the Super Bowl, who makes the only explosive play? Gronk. Gronk then retires because he doesn't want to play in that setting anymore. Brady then leaves. Okay, he obviously wins the damn Super Bowl, and right now Brady and Gronk lead the league in touchdown passes and touchdown catches, while the Patriots are trying to recreate it with Mac Jones and Jonnu Smith. How is that not the worst sports decision that's been made in 100 years? How is it not?
Oh, I'll explain it to you. So, I am less inclined to criticize politicians, surgeon generals over COVID than other medical matters. Why? Because it's so unique and rare and was such a medical tsunami and caught us totally off guard. So it is one thing if it was a common flu and 400,000 Americans died. We should be prepared for that. We have a term for it. It's called the flu season.
Right.
But when a pandemic hits, and we're not sure if it comes from a lab, was human created, it came from, and it, we're not even sure for the first 3 months when it landed on our soil, I'm going to be much less inclined to clobber our medical experts. When you deal with Tom Brady, the fact that he may be better at 43 and 44 than he was at 39 is so uncommon. Serena at 39, way past her prime. Messi at 34, past his prime. Ronaldo at 36 is cashing checks. LeBron at 36 now falls into a one more injury and he's brittle.
Right.
Tom is 44 and looks better. His release and his arm strength look better than they did at 38. Now, some of it may just be, this sounds silly, the humidity, the flexibility, the pliability of playing in really, really warm weather. There's a reason old people move to Florida. You feel better. Your bones feel better. Tom is so historically unique that if you looked at the time that Belichick drafted Garoppolo, I think Tommy was 37 or 38. Well, that is the time that you move off Peyton and Breeze.
Yes.
And Alex Smith. So if you look at what Belichick did, he was doing what history tells you to do. 37 to 38, you draft a player. He did. He drafted Garoppolo. Kraft said, get out of here. So now when Brady actually shocks him and leaves, they have no succession plan. So I will give Belichick the break in that who in their right mind could have predicted? I mean, I'm a Brady, devoted Brady supporter. I said last year, there's no preseason. This is a wild card team at best. I mean, through 5 weeks, I didn't think they were a playoff team.
Correct.
So when there's historical exceptions, I'm going to give people breaks.
And it sounds crazy for me of all people to be saying this because I was the biggest skeptic of them all. But the counterpoint to your COVID comp is this. You're giving the Surgeon General a break. Got it. But what if all of America, that in this case, that's the fans, and the president of the United States, in this case, that's Robert Kraft, were like, do this. Like, no, I'm going to do that. And he was wrong. Because Belichick, the reason, and this is, I'm big on, if you take a massive swing and you're right, you get to do a victory lap. This is probably why I like celebrating in sports. Like, yeah, celebrate your successes. But also, if you take a massive swing and you miss, there's got to be a penalty associated with it. Belichick went against what his fans wanted, his players wanted, and the owner wanted, because he knew better. And he was wrong. And he was wrong with a guy he'd been around for 20 years, to where if anybody should have known, maybe he's going to be different, you would think it would be Belichick. And so I don't think it means, this isn't about who gets more credit, Brady or Belichick. It's not about Belichick's place in history. It's about this individual decision. It's trending towards historically awful.
Okay. Now, let's remember that in divorces, and that's what Belichick, Brady, we can classify that as a divorce, right? In divorces, if you were going to decide poorly and get a divorce tomorrow, you would have to admit that your beautiful wife would have success the rest of her life with other men. Other men would be attracted to her. Successful men, funny men, physically, emotionally, right? That's why beyond loving her and what you've created, that's always in the back of our head.
Right. It's like, I don't want, right.
Sure. Well, my wife ends up with George Clooney. What's going on?
Right.
So when you break up with Peyton Manning or Brett Favre or Joe Montana, you acknowledge, because this is true, they will succeed. Your hope is it won't be for long. So I think New England knew Tommy's going to succeed. I think they knew it. It's just that he picked the best set of skill people in the league. There wasn't a huge, by the way, if he's with the Chargers now and has Anthony Lynn that first year, he doesn't win a Super Bowl. They had a bad offensive line. He would not flourish.
And that's where I thought he was going to go, by the way.
So let's not take where he land and punish New England and Belichick for picking the best spot. Like, if I left ESPN and went to Vice, ESPN today would be like, boom, told you.
Yeah.
I just happened to go to a better managed company, and then we get Nick Wright, and then we get Skip, and then we get Broussard, and then we have the NFL, this great management team, the Murdoch family, this great support ecosystem.
Yeah, yeah, that's all true. But you know what's also true? And I don't want to spend too much time on this. They also really fucked up letting you leave. Like, that's also true. Like, they had, I mean, it's also true that that was a mistake. Like, he was there. You probably want to keep him. And so that's a problem. And so I just, I don't know. When I watch, like right now I watch the Bucks and I'm like, somehow what I'm concerned about is their defense.
Oh, me too.
I'm concerned about their defense. Like, what is happening? I'm like, Leonard Fournette has not run like that since LSU. Anyone could have had Antonio Brown. It's just mind-boggling. All right, I have one other random thing to throw at you, if that's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to sound weird, but I'll bring it home.
And this will be the last thing, because I don't like to take too much of your time, so go ahead.
Okay, that's... When is the last time you talked about Joe Burrow?
I have a DM relationship with him. I talked about him 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay. Here's why I mentioned it. And I think this is one of the unfairnesses of sports. Joe Burrow had arguably the single best college football season ever, right?
Yeah.
I don't actually think it was better than like Cam's season with Auburn, but statistically it was the best college football season ever. And it's certainly on the short list, right?
Right.
One of the greatest seasons a player's ever had. And his reward for that is he's the consensus, no doubt, obvious number one pick. And that year, that pick is Cincinnati. And they, of course, don't protect him. And his coach is Zach Taylor. And his knee gets wrecked. And now we're in year two of Joe Burrow. And when we talk young quarterbacks, we talk Zach Wilson for good or for bad. We're like, hey, can Darnold still come back? We talk Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, and Trey Lance, when's he playing? Everyone wants to see Justin Fields. Kyler Murray. It's like he has gone from greatest college football season ever to totally forgotten afterthought in most media circles. I can't remember. I don't know if we've said his name on my show once in a year. And if I'm him or his family, or, and I'm using him as a proxy for just how odd the draft is, even though I think you have to have a draft, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you've got to be kidding me that my son or me, if I'm Joe, that I end up, because of my greatness, going to the worst possible situation in total obscurity, and no one ever thinks of me anymore. It's such an oddity.
Yeah, well, I've always had two beliefs. This is why, number one, I always support player mobility. The only thing in the world, the only industry in the world where you are punished for a great college exemplary career is sports. The better you are, the worse team you go to. Secondly, if the franchise fires two coaches, basketball, football, NBA player, NFL player. If your first contract to a team, they fire two coaches, you are allowed free agency by the end of your fourth year. I've talked about this with friends before. So, you know, a team can fire a coach, but if Cleveland fired two coaches, Baker should be at the end of this year, be able to go. Now, Baker would choose to stay.
Right, because they got it right.
But if you are with an organization and they fire two coaches, then you're a poorly run organization. And after
that's a LeBron thing.
Yep.
That's a LeBron thing. It's like, we can't get it right. You don't deserve
it. So what do you think about that? I've thought about that before.
I think the end result of that actually might be more damaging, which is a team would say, oh my God, we hired an idiot. But if we fire him, our guy gets to leave. So now we're keeping the idiot. You know what? Like, that would be the only. They'd be like, "Oh no!" Like, what if the Cardinals were like, if they weren't sold on Cliff Kingsbury, they're like, we want to fire him, but then like, but we want to keep Kyler, and we don't want him to leave. Like, so I do. I don't know if it would be quite as clean as you're saying, but I agree with the general point is, and there is no, by the way, solution to this, because the idea of, well, that's why you. I know it's very popular. Especially people my age in the media, to talk about abolishing the draft. Yeah, that's not really tenable. If you're going to abolish the draft, you probably also have to totally change the way you do salaries, because the only way you're... Because fact of the matter is, young, rich, single people prefer to live in certain cities than others.
Yeah.
And so the draft is important, and I actually think the draft, like, I like the idea of the draft, but it also, the dominoes of, and this, like, I think Mahomes is great no matter what, but obviously he was in perfect situation. It's Andy Reid, it's Tyreek Hill, it's Travis Kelce. So, like, Mahomes gets rewarded for not being as good as he should have been at Texas Tech because nobody thought he should go number two, like Trubisky. That's a weird thing, right? Like, if Mahomes was better in college, he definitely would be having a worse professional career. Like, it's such an odd circumstance. And I just thought of it the other day because I'm like, didn't the Bengals, they're not even 0-2. Like, they have a win. And Joe Burrow, like, but nobody talks about Joe Burrow anymore. You have a relationship with him, so you do a degree. But, and I was like, man, it was a year ago. He was like the franchise changing prospect. And the reason I'm thinking of it right now is, and I think he'll be okay, is Trevor Lawrence. I'm like, man, I don't want him to go down the path of Joe Burrow.
That's right.
Like, and right now Jacksonville looks to be a mess. They do look to be a mess. Now maybe Urban will get it right, and they've got a lot of work to do, and they got unlucky with the Etienne injury. But it's a weird spot where, and you know, the number one pick of the draft quarterback, that can be a rough go of it. Like a really rough go of it.
Yeah.
In more cases than not.
I want to bring up something because you're very good at this stuff. So you brought up something that's interesting. You said young people want to live in certain places. And I've said this before. Right now, Los Angeles, Matt Stafford's about the ninth biggest sports star in town.
Yep.
We have Justin Herbert, I did a list, is like 14th. I mean, Otani, Mike Trout are not even top 10.
Nope.
So my point is, many of those players chose California with 13% tax, right? And this is something that just cracks me up. People, you don't know what you don't know, right? You just don't know. You hear this all the time. Oh, California's taxes. Well, for a guy making $50,000, you're not paying much. If you can afford LA, you should live here. It's a hell of a quality of life. If you're making $50,000 in America, your quality of life isn't great. If you could afford LA, like you had a home, you move into your parents' home, yeah, it's a hell of a life. The people that really lose the big money in California are the richest people that lose millions of dollars a year. But it doesn't dissuade athletes at all who have very short shelf lives to make that money. And I got into this discussion. I'm not a tax gypsy. I've lived in Connecticut. I go where the big jobs are. And when I mentioned this to somebody, I said, yeah, USC is going to go steal one of these, you know, these James Franklins, these Matt Campbells. And everybody goes, oh, California. They always go taxes. Well, New Hampshire has no state tax. Washington, Tennessee, Wyoming. I don't want to live in those four states. They're fine. I don't. Texas doesn't either. Rather not live there. Nothing wrong with it, but it's too hot in the summer and it's too flat. I grew up in a rolling hills topography.
I've lived there. Yeah, not great.
Most states have somewhere between a 3.5% and a 6.5% state tax. So the idea that I would rather live in Arkansas, which by the way has a city tax in Little Rock, so you can get up to 10% tax instead of California at 13. This is something that I laugh about. People, great talents, like let's say James Franklin. There is nothing to effing do for he and his family in that small town. I mean, I am not joking. Penn State isn't in the middle of nowhere, because the middle of nowhere has more to do than rural Pennsylvania. So let's say they pay him $8 million a year. USC would go, we'll pay a $9.5 million. Now, that extra $1.5 million goes right to taxes, but it's the same. You're getting the same,
yeah,
deal.
But what's the point of making the money if you can't spend on anything fun? And you can't do anything.
This is my thing. There's a part of America that they literally are willing to live in a shittier, more boring place because of the tax rate. Now, again, I get if you make $72,000, you can't afford a home. But for the richest Americans, LeBron, for all these pro athletes, they've all got $70 million net worths. They want to be by a beach. They have beautiful wives. They want to do things.
Of course. Listen, I'm from the Midwest and you're from the Northwest, and yeah, I am not at all. There are a lot of people who live in, you know, not on the coast and not in big cities because it's what they like. And I am not judging that. And I know,
right,
you're not either. Like, that is,
yes,
you each their own. But what you're talking about, to put a finer point on it, is folks who, what they don't understand they're doing is they are saying the old Yogi Berra line and not getting how silly they sound, which is that nobody goes to that restaurant anymore. It's too crowded. It's like, yeah, living in Southern California and New York City, everyone hates it. It's why there's 40 million of us here. Like, give me a break. Like, the idea, people will pay more if they have the ability to for what comes along with living in one of these places. And you said earlier, to tie it all together, men or people will make bad decisions for a beautiful woman, for sports, or for money, right? Like, those are things people will make bad decisions for. Well, one of the reasons a lot of people, a lot of athletes are not going to care about the extra tax rate in LA is because if you're young and single, there's a lot of beautiful people. There's a lot of beautiful people in Southern California. There has been since it was invented. Like, it's why Hollywood is there. People want to live there.
I've lived in seven.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I've lived in like what I would consider the median, which is like Kansas City, Missouri, no tax, Texas, and then high tax. I live in Manhattan, right? There's pros and cons with all of it. But the other thing that folks, I don't think, totally get is roads and schools got to be paid for somehow. It's not like these zero tax states. It's like, well, you got to plow your own streets. Somehow it's still happening. So they're getting the money somewhere. Somehow the money is coming from you to the state.
That's right.
Because there are still services. Now, I understand, of course, but so why can Southern California charge more? Well, here's an argument for it, by the way, even if you don't have a ton of money. A lot of the best things about Southern California are free.
Beaches.
The beach is free.
The weather.
The weather is free. Exactly. And so that's why I've always thought if you don't make a ton of money but your job says, you know, you're either living in New York or LA, I would always choose LA. Because New York has amazing stuff, but it all costs money. Cost you $15 to move around the city for the day. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing about New York is cheap, and the weather sucks. So, but it's awesome if you can go, if you've got the money to go to Broadway and do all this other stuff, that's cool. LA, you can go to the beach all day, cost you nothing. So I'm not big on people aren't. I know people are like, oh, all the businesses are moving to Texas. Like, are they all
no,
of them?
No, listen.
Like, there's like,
Nick,
like, so is Silicon Valley doesn't, Nick, it seems like it's still bustling.
38 states in the country can't pay their bills. The federal government has to give them a payout. Kentucky cannot pay its bills. They need a $9 billion annual payout from the government. California had a $75 billion surplus during a pandemic.
Yeah, of course.
Smart people.
Because it's got a lot of people, smart people that make a lot of money and pay a lot of taxes. And then and then complain about it. Like, listen, everyone wants to pay less in taxes. I get it. And of course California could be better run.
Yeah.
Like, I understand all of that. I'm not acting like when the government is the most efficient spender of money.
That's right.
Nobody thinks that. But it is I just laugh when people pretend that California and New York are dying. I'm like, we know what the population is.
By the way, Chicago. So my wife and I, during the pandemic, everybody was fleeing downtown Chicago, New York. And I told my wife, there's a reason people live in downtown Chicago. It's great. They're going to get bored with the burbs. So we bought a place in Chicago. I mean, stole it from a bank. I mean, it was nothing. We fixed it up. It's great. We've gone there 5 times. I have so much fun in Chicago. I literally watch, you know, certain networks trying to marginalize these big cities. And I'm like, my 3 favorite cities arguably in America are LA, Chicago, and New York. I mean, by the way, I've been to 48 states. I've lived in 7 or 8. And I'm not saying they're ideal. But Nick, if you take out sleep and work, that's 15 hours a day for me. I have 9 hours a day to fill, and I don't want to be on my phone. I can walk out of the house in those cities and have 30 options.
Right. And which, by the way, which is why the one city that has a lot of these options that also, as an added bonus, is in a zero tax state is Vegas. And which is why Vegas, by the way, is super attractive for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, the weather in Vegas to some can be a negative because it can be so hot.
Oh, no.
But Vegas has all the food, has all the shows, has a lot of really cool stuff. So, like, that's why. And is Florida a zero tax state?
Yeah.
Is Florida no state income tax?
Yeah.
But they get you other ways. And I know you're not a Florida guy.
I like it, but you can't escape the heat. Like, in Nevada, you can go to Mount Charleston. It's an hour drive away. There's a mountain. You can get away from the heat. Like, you cannot escape the heat in Florida. Like, you have to go to 2 other states in the summer. It is just 4 months of a sauna.
Yeah. And so, I lived in Houston, which was the same. Houston, winters are awesome, but the other 8 months of the year, it's tough, man. Like, Houston is tough.
And I'm not trying to be, I guess I brought this up because, listen, I understand taxes, but if nothing is a not interested in continuing this relationship, like guy whining about taxes in a big city, then move to Indiana. Knock yourself out. I got no problem. But enjoy the winners and enjoy going to the same 3 restaurants and doing the same 4 things.
Well, that's right. And again, I'm from Kansas City and I love that town. I love it. But there, ultimately,
all right, that's pretty good. That was long enough.
If these places
go do what you want to do,
taxes,
sign up, YouTube page, The Volume, Instagram,
them, they would adjust.
Twitter, rate, review, subscribe.
Because ultimately, it's the same thing. Like, there's a sushi joint here in New York, Now I sound just like such a media elite talking about sushi in New York City. But there's one that I happen to think is the best sushi in America. It's like you don't get to pick what you eat. You walk in, it's with the chef. And I've been going there for a couple years now. And it seems like every couple months, they raise the fixed price by like $10. And I really think they're doing it just because it's like, well, we're reserved a month out. Every time.
Yeah.
So as soon as we raise it to a level that all of a sudden we have empty seats, I guess we pushed it too far. And that's not necessarily the right lesson that I want like government to do. But California is not paying a penalty for the high taxes. There's not, because they have a lot to offer. California has a lot to offer. New York City has a lot to offer. Now, New York City during the pandemic was terrible. It was like, okay, so all the cool things are closed. All the restaurants are closed. Broadway's closed and the weather sucks. And I'm paying all this money. That's not great. But now that things are back open, it's a different story. I don't know how you said we were on Vice. I feel like we were on Frontline there doing 15 minutes on taxes. This is a ratings bonanza.
People, well, I mean, there's a reason Silicon Valley was started in California. We have a lot of really smart people. There's a reason the Ivy League is in the Northeast. There's a lot of really smart people. Like places, things happen in certain places for a reason. Right. So and it's you can say, well, it's I've never worried about the elitist tag. I am an elitist. I have three suits. I don't have eight. I just buy nice ones. I've never had two cars. Guys that make 1/8 of what I make have six. I've never had two. I just drive a nice one. I like nice stuff. I don't go out to eat much. But when I go out to eat, I'll eat at home with my wife's cooking. So I'm going to go out to a good restaurant. So if that makes me an elitist, I would like my kids to go to better colleges. Then I'm an elitist. I have no problem acknowledging that I'm not a big spender. I'm not a big collector. I don't have a lot of anything. But I will pay a lot of money for great experiences. And if that makes me elitist, then I'm an elitist. And I'm totally comfortable being an elitist because I think I'm authentic and honest to my audience. And I've said this before. And they know who I am. I'm not going to pretend.
Well, that, and I'm not going to name names here.
Yeah.
But there are, in the news space, much more so than the sports space.
Yeah.
There are a lot of folks that are 8-figure-a-year personalities that like to pretend they are down home on the ranch, and they are not. They like to pretend they're like that they are anti-New York City and L.A., even though that's where they broadcast from. That's where three of their five houses are. And that's where they like to pretend that they are, you know, that they're bringing a sandwich bag of PB&J to work rather than having Del Frisco's catered in every day. Like, that's a first cousin of what I've always said, which is in our business, our job is not to be unbiased. It's to be honest about our biases. I'm allowed to root for the Chiefs. I just can't pretend I don't. You know what I mean? Like, it would be fraudulent of me to be like, no, I don't have a favorite team. I obviously do. I just have to tell the audience that I do. So what you're saying is like, I'm not going to pretend to be someone I'm not because it's going to make other people feel better.
That's right.
Or I'm going to be relatable in different ways. Even if you can't necessarily relate to my exact life, you're going to relate to parts of me, who I am, my story, my personality, the way I look at the world, even if we drive a different car to work or however.
That's
you
right.
Say.
I'm not. If you make blankety blank a year and can't afford a 5-star hotel, which by the way, I'm not a hotel guy, so I don't do 5-star hotels. I'm not driven by hotels. I'm not a car guy. I'm not a watch guy. I'm not a jewelry guy. I'm not a stuff guy. I do like a ski house because I ski a lot and I want my kids to have great memories. So that's my elitism.
Right.
And I have no problem acknowledging that and talking about it on the air. Like, this is who I am. I'm not. I tell my wife this all the time. I'm not going to pretend we're middle class. Like, I'm going to live in a nice neighborhood and we're going to take the kids on amazing world life-changing experiences. And that's okay. I'm not guilty about it. I'm not going to be a phony. Now, I still like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but I'm not going to be honest. I like nice, expensive cocktails. More than Bud Light. Okay, I'm okay
right.
with
it. You know what? I'm going to tell you one thing. This is where we're going to end it. I'm going to tell the audience one thing right now where Colin Cowherd is a phony. When he does those fancy Instagram videos, I don't think those are cheap cigars. You always say a little cheap cigar. I think those are – not only do I think they're expensive cigars, I think they might be illegal. I think they might be smuggled into the country, cigars. I'm going to tell you that much right now.
Rick Bucher sends me cigars.
Oh, you're a snitch too.
Yeah.
You're diming out your source. That's unbelievable.
Good seeing you, buddy. Great as always.
You too. Talk to you later.
All right, bye. All right, that's pretty good. That was long enough. Go do what you want to do. Sign up, YouTube page, The Volume, Instagram, Twitter, rate, review, subscribe, whatevs. Talk soon.
The Volume.